God, make me a really great success in business, and then I'll serve you with the success. Wrong. It's the exact opposite. God, use my job or lack of it now, and then the success can come. It's the exact opposite. First, Peter lets Jesus use his job for his platform. And then Jesus blesses Peter's job with enormous success. That's the order.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we continue in our series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In it, Rick shows us from God's Word that when it comes to living with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, we should never lose hope. That's because God loves us and has great things planned for our lives. Stay with us. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book called God's Power to Change Your Life. This book by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for anyone who feels stuck and unable to make real and lasting change. You can text the word DAILY to 99000 while you listen to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called When You've Come Up Empty.
After Jesus finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now, launch out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." The Bible says that when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Now, that's a lot of fish. And it says, so they signaled to their partners, that's James and John in the other boat, to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full with fish that they began to sink. Now, friends, that's a fish story. Okay, you're not going to top that one. I'm not going to top that one. That's a flat-out miracle. Here's the point. They caught more in 10 minutes than they had caught in 10 hours. This is what's called a miracle of acceleration, where God speeds up the process. And when you understand the principle of a miracle of acceleration, you don't worry about timing. You may go a month or 2 months or a year or 2 years without work. It doesn't really matter because God can turn on a faucet like that as quickly as one got turned off. And the fact is, God can do more in 10 minutes in your life than you can do in 10 years. If you will do it the way he tells you to do it. Now, what makes the difference? This is the point. What makes the difference between working all night and coming up empty on your own and having so much blessing in your life, you're sinking from it? It's too much. Too much blessing. So much blessing in your life, materially, you have to spread it around. You have to share it around. You're going to sink under the load. What made the difference between emptiness and overflowing? Well, Jesus says in the book of Matthew, he says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. And the disciples did four things. They took four steps of faith. You need to learn these steps of faith to make it through this recession. When you're going through the difficult times, when you're coming up empty in your job. Let's look at them. Number one, the first thing you need to do that Peter and Andrew and James and John did is you need to give Jesus complete access to my life. I give Jesus complete access to my life if I want to turn from emptiness to overflowing. Now notice it says in verse 3 there, Luke chapter 5, Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore, and then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Now here's the starting point. Pretty simple. You got to get Jesus in your boat. That's the starting point. If you want to move from emptiness to fullness, you've got to get Jesus in your boat. Now notice, they've worked all night and caught nothing in 10 hours, and now in 10 minutes they're catching more than they can handle. What's different here? It's the same lake. It's the same boat. It's the same nets. It's the same fishermen. It's the same partners. It's the same fish. The only thing that's different between nothing and fullness is Jesus is in the boat. Do you think that makes a difference? Oh, yeah. Jesus is in the boat. Now, this is a game changer. Now, God is with them. They're not fishing by themselves anymore. They're not in their career by themselves anymore. They've got Jesus on the job. They've got their business has got the master in control here. Now, let's apply this, and this is a game changer. Let's apply this to the recession we're going through right now and your life. Okay, first, what's your boat? What is your boat? Your boat is how you make a living. That's what it is. It's how you make a living. It's your means of support. Simon's business is his boat. He's a fisherman. Simon's business is his boat. He gives his boat to Jesus. He gives his job to Jesus. He gives his, the boat represents your career, your vocation, your profession, your job. It represented Simon Peter's entire livelihood. And what's your boat? It's how you make a living. Royalties, commissions, salary, or whatever. Number two, what does it mean to have Jesus in your boat? It means you dedicate your career to God. We're not talking about salvation here. You have Jesus in your life, but a lot of you don't have Jesus in your job. You've trusted him for salvation, and you come in the weekend, and you praise God, but when you go back to work during the week, you put Jesus on the shelf. And Jesus is nowhere to be found in your job, and he's certainly not using it as a platform for ministry. To give your boat to Jesus means you say, Jesus, use my job as your platform. I dedicate my career to you for your use. Now, when Peter did this, when he gave his job to Jesus for his use, he gets blessed too with incredible results. But don't miss the sequence. See, here's what we say. We normally think, God, make me a really great success in business. And then I'll serve you with a success. Wrong.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
See, here's what we say. We normally think, God, make me a really great success in business, and then I'll serve you with a success. Wrong. It's the exact opposite. God, use my job or lack of it now, and then the success can come. It's the exact opposite. First, Peter lets Jesus use his job for his platform. And then Jesus blesses Peter's job with enormous success. That's the order. It's not, make me a success and then I'll serve you. It's the exact opposite. God, I'm failing in my job, but I give it to you as a platform, and now you can bless it. You see, this is what Matthew 6:33 says. Seek ye first, not second, third, fourth, or fifth. Seek first the kingdom of God, not success, not satisfaction, not a salary. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you. You got to get the priorities right. You got to get Jesus in the boat. And when you do that, then he takes care of your needs. Whatever you want God to bless, you put him first in. You want God to bless your time, you give him the first part of every day. You want God to bless your money, you give him the first 10% of your money, no matter how little it is. I went through 3 years of graduate school making $800 a month combined in our family, and we still tied 10%. Why? Because I couldn't afford not to have God's blessing in my life. I needed God's blessing. So whatever you want God to put in first in your life, you put him first in your life, then he'll bless that. And so you get Jesus in your work. And what you say is, okay, here, Lord, you use my business as your platform to spread the good news, and then we'll let God take care of everything else. So you say, I'm really a missionary. What do? You say, I'm a missionary. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. I'm a missionary disguised as a realtor. I'm a missionary disguised as a nanny. I'm a missionary disguised as an accountant. I'm a missionary disguised as a truck driver. I'm a missionary disguised as a nurse or a CEO or a teacher or a house cleaner or whatever it is. I'm first and foremost using my career as a platform for Jesus. And then he'll bless me in return. Now, question. Have you committed your boat to Jesus? See, some of you are going through tough times right now, and you're trying to change everything else. They didn't need to change their nets. They didn't need to change their boat. They didn't need to change their business partners. They didn't need to change their location. They didn't need to change their marriage. They just needed Jesus in charge of the boat. That's what was needed. Some of you are trying to change everything else. Some of you think, well, maybe I need to move out of Orange County. Well, maybe, but not necessarily. Maybe you just need to get Jesus in charge of your boat. And that's the first step. Now, here's the second step. The second step is I admit that my efforts aren't working. I admit my efforts aren't working. In verse 4 and 5, it says, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water, you know, launch out now, and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon Peter answered, Master, we've worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything. Now, do you realize how hard it was for Peter to say this? Peter is a pro. He's good at what he does. He's a professional fisherman. These guys are not amateurs. They are not novices. They're not weekend fishermen. They make a living at this. They know how to do this. But sometimes, even when you're a pro, you fish all night and you catch nothing. It's humbling to say this. It's hard to say this. They made their living catching fish. This Peter not catching any fish is like Kobe Bryant playing an entire game and never making a basket. It would be like Tiger Woods playing a round of golf and never sinking a putt. Not a few extra strokes, not even a single putt. This is quite humbling. And the truth is, they're doing their best. These are good guys. They're doing their very best. But friends, sometimes our best is not good enough. It's just not good enough. And sometimes there are situations that are out of our control. You can't control the economy. You can't control the weather. You can't control the, you know, a lot of things in life that'll affect your life. What other people do, diseases, and you can't stop the aging process. Most of the major things in your life, you can't control. And so you start thinking, you know, I have tried so hard. It just doesn't seem to make any difference. And I've worked so hard, but I've got so little to show for it. What do you need to do? Well, you need to first do these two things. You get Jesus in your boat, and you admit that your way isn't working. It isn't working. That's humbling. The Bible calls that confession. Now, why don't we want to admit this? I don't want to admit it. You don't want to admit it. Why don't we want to admit it? Well, there are three reasons I don't want to admit it when it's not working. Pride, stubbornness, and fear. I don't want to admit it because of pride, because I don't want anybody to think that I can't handle it. If it's to be, it's up to me. I'm in charge. I got it all together. It's all copacetic. And pride keeps me from admitting this step two. I think I can handle everything by myself. And I just say, well, we'll work 11 hours tomorrow night and 12 hours the next night and 13 hours the next night. Stubbornness. Stubbornness is when I'm unwilling to change the way I'm doing it. And when we phrase it, well, we've always done it this way. You see, the greatest enemy of tomorrow's success is yesterday's success. Because we're not in yesterday anymore. You got to do it differently now. And Jesus will tell you the way to do it. Yesterday's success will keep you from success today. This is traditionalism. It's stubbornism. It happens to pastors. It happens to spiritual leaders. It happened to Moses. Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt to go to Israel. It should take them 2 weeks, and it takes them 40 years to cross the Sinai Desert. And out there in that 30, 40 years of wandering, at one point they run out of water. So God says, okay, I'm going to do a miracle. And he says, I'm going to surprise everybody. And he said, Moses, I want you to go over and I want you to strike the rock with the rod. Strike the rock and water comes gushing out, you know, an artesian well comes out of the rock and provides water for the entire nation of Israel, which is an amazing miracle. Later on, they have another water problem, and they run out again. And so Moses thinks, well, that's no problem. We'll just do it like we did last time. We'll just find a rock, and we'll strike it. And God says, no, we're not going to do it that way this time. I want you this time to speak to the rock. Because remember, every miracle has a truth behind it. And I don't have time to go into this, but there's a parallel here of Jesus was struck once on the cross, but not twice. And there's a meaning. And God does everything for a purpose. But Moses... God says to Moses, I want you to speak to the rock this time, not strike it. And Moses says, but Lord, we've never done it that way. I'm famous as a rock striker. Okay? I mean, the whole nation saw this incredible miracle. I strike rocks and water comes out. I'm a rock striker. And it is that traditionalism, and God says, don't you do it. And Moses did it anyway. He did it the same way he did it the first time. And God got mad and said, Moses, that was a sin. And because of that, you don't get to go into the promised land. It was traditionalism. It was refusing to change. It was refusing to do it God's way and wanting to do it the way he'd always done it that kept Moses out of the promised land. You got to be willing to change. Stubbornness, pride, and then, of course, fear keeps me from wanting to admit I fished all night and caught nothing. Because I'm afraid that people will think less of me. In fact, I'm afraid to get Jesus in my boat because he might steer it in a direction I don't want it to go. And if I put Jesus in my job, he may make me a fanatic. He may turn me into something I'm scared to death to give Jesus my job. Well, regardless of the cause, the second step is to admit it and say, this just isn't working. Now, here's the third step. The third step, if you want to see God turn emptiness into fullness, is I obey whatever Jesus tells me to do. I obey whatever Jesus tells me to do. In other words, I must be willing to do whatever he tells me, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's illogical, even if it appears foolish and stupid to other people. I must obey what God tells me to do, even if it doesn't make sense financially. I must do it even if it's illogical and irrational and I don't understand it and I'm confused and I'm scared to death. I still do it anyway. I obey whatever Jesus tells me to do, even when it doesn't make sense. Now Jesus, in the next verse, verse 5, Simon, Jesus told him to launch out in the deep. And Simon says, Master, we've worked hard all night And we haven't caught anything. We're empty. We've come up empty. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Circle, because you say so. That is the key to a miracle. Because you say so. Not because I think it's smart. Not because it's popular. Not because I can afford it. Not because it makes sense. Not because everybody else is doing it. I'm going to do this because you say so. Now, not only is Jesus in the boat, he's giving the fishing instructions. Now, I want you to notice what Peter does not do, his reaction. First, he doesn't argue with Jesus. Excuse me, Lord, you're a carpenter, I'm a fisherman. You know wood, I know fish. They ain't biting. So, you know, who are you to tell me to go out and do it this way? I am the pro at this. I know my job better than you, Lord. And when you do that, you are in for so many blessings that you're going to miss. I'm the pro. I know fish. He doesn't argue. He doesn't hesitate. When Jesus says launch out and deep, he doesn't say, well, Lord, that's a good idea. Why don't we think about this for a minute? Let's discuss it. Let's form a committee and vote on it. In fact, he says, why don't we do this? We're all tired. We've been out all night. We haven't caught anything. We're dirty. We're sweaty. We're tired. We want to go see our wives. How about if we go home, take a bath, take a nap, get up this afternoon, and later in the afternoon when it's cooler and the fish are biting again, let's go give it another try. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't delay. It's instant. He doesn't listen to his feelings. I'm sure Peter is dead tired. You know what it's like to stay up all night, to work all through the night? You're ready to go to bed.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. Now, we'd love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much. Now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, it's always encouraging to hear how Daily Hope helps listeners like you, how it helps you mature in your faith. Let me read you a letter I got just recently from Sherry. She said, Pastor Rick, this ministry has literally saved my life. After a series of disappointments, I had lost all hope, and I saw no reason to go on. And that changed when I discovered Daily Hope. Now I hold on, praying expectantly. You know, that's the little acrostic we use for hope, H-O-P-E. She said, my circumstances have not changed, but my outlook has. And now rather than being depressed about where I am in life, I've learned to be thankful for this time of spiritual growth. I don't know what the Lord has planned for me, but I know it's good, and I look forward to a future walking side by side with Him and using this experience to help others through their own struggles. Gratefully, Sherry. Sherry, I can't tell you how much this letter means to me. You know, God will never let you down. He's with you every step of the way, and thank you so much for writing to me and let me know how God is working in your life. I'm praying for you, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me. By the way, thanks everybody for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.